Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a week for the future of the Timberwolves and the Wild, for that matter. We'll talk about both today. But the real MVP this week of the Timberwolves, in my mind, Pete, is Tim Connelly. Tim Connelly, who does – I don't know that I've ever seen something like this before in any draft, where in order to get – you get yourself into the top 10 without losing any of your current player assets – and what you deal for it is something that's so far away. It's not even, it's almost silly. And I understand why San Antonio did it. They want to build around Victor Wembanyama. He's a young player. They've, you know, 5 years from now is a real, you know, kind of attainable window for them. But if you're the Timberwolves and you trade away your first round pick in 2031, and swap picks in 2030, and you're able to add someone like Rob Dillingham from Kentucky, who is an immediate force, I think, on your team.
Yeah.
What a brilliant move. And again, I know the draft was a couple days ago, but we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. Tim Connelly, when you look through executives in our town and in our state over the past, let's just say decade or two, maybe three, he might be one of the best general managers or president of operations that any franchise has had here. I mean, to do what he's done with this team this year, all he does is swing big, and every time it's a home run. It's never a single. It's never a ground out. It's always a home run. It may take a little more time, but I'm so impressed with the deals that he makes, and this is just the latest.
Yeah, it is impressive, and it's something that is not necessarily new. I mean, he's had the guts, if you want to call it guts, or the intelligence to make some moves that he's taking advantage of what we've got as a team right here, right now. He's looking into the future, but he's willing to say, you know what, we'll worry about that in 10 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever it might be. But the reality is he's focused on right now. He's got Anthony Edwards. He's got all of these young stars that are budding, and a couple of older guys too, Rudy Gobert and so forth. But nonetheless, just going for it. And you've got to appreciate that. And I think we are seeing that the Timberwolves certainly proved it out this past year. It was their second best in franchise history in terms of number of wins and all the rest of that. So I think you got to give Tim Connelly a heck of a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. And how about Chris Finch? You know, that's another one where here's a coach who's got to deal with a lot of different egos, you know, as far as where does the ball go. And he's done a magnificent job, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he created a team that had the defensive mindset based on Rudy Gobert with the spark of Anthony Edwards and a few others. You just got to love what we have done in a very, very short period of time, coaching-wise, player-wise. I think it's just a testament to a lot of the different things. Now we just got to figure out who owns the Timberwolves, right?
your point is right. I was on with Jason DeRusha on Monday just as the Finch contract extension came out, and I said I love this for a guy who's had to pay his dues. You know, this is his very first head coaching job, and a lot of times when guys or females who are in coaching, if it takes a long time to get there, right, they've just bounced around or they never really got that chance, there's often a reason, and we've seen it in our town. We've seen it with coaches or GMs who take a while to get there, and then we think, that's probably why it took so long and doesn't work out. Chris Finch is someone who they had to take, and granted, this was not Tim Connelly's hire. This is Gerson Rosas' hire.
Yep.
But he's done things here, and probably most underrated to your point, Pete, is he's kept a lineup happy that has five – And you want to count six Naz Reid, guys who could start with any other team. And he's kept everybody happy with the amount of ball touches they're getting, with the offense and defense that he's running, and winning helps that. But I can't, and you know this, Pete, you were a professional athlete. It's hard to keep, it really is a job to be able to manage the egos in the lineup every single night and keep everybody happy.
Oh, it's a near impossibility. I think it's even worse probably in sports like basketball where you've only got the five out there. But, you know, you see the same thing happen with receivers in football and running backs in football and quarterbacks, quite honestly, all the time. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's part of what coaching is managing these personalities and egos along the way.
Yeah.
And that's something that can be very difficult. By the way, Dave, I looked at one thing. I don't know how many people have pointed this out, if any, but I thought it was pretty interesting. I went through the Timberwolves season this past year. Do you know their longest losing streak was 2 games?
Yep.
It's just, when you look at that, that says a lot about the preparation, what he's done with the players, even though Anthony Edwards, as you and I've talked about, is just this amazing guy who does not do load management. He absolutely understands the game. He understands the fans. He wants to do his best for the fans. So they're playing these guys. They're playing. And the fact that that sort of a streak didn't exist past the 2 games. Now, again, we did sweep Phoenix, but we did lose 3 in a row to Denver. And we lost 3 in a row to Dallas. But let's forget about that for a second. Those were great teams. And it was an amazing year. And I think that they can do even better. I love what they did in the draft. I think that the way they manipulated themselves into the right spots and to get Dillingham is unbelievable. And on top of that, Terrence, I just think that the Timberwolves seem to be really rolling right now.
I think you can make an argument, and I'm curious what our audience thinks. Love to hear from you on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. In the pantheon of Minnesota sports, is Tim Connelly up there now with the greatest GM, president of operations? Is he on there? I think you can make a point for Calvin Griffith. I think you can make a point, certainly make a point for Terry Ryan, what he's done. I just, when you look at what he's done and the giant swings that he's made, even the small swings have worked. I just think, I think he's up there. And again, I'd love to, I'm open to all sorts of opinions, but I think Connelly could very well be considered one of the best with what he's done. The other interesting thing that happened this week with the Timberwolves is, if you haven't heard, they've settled the case in the case of the gentleman who used to work for the Timberwolves who stole a bunch of did you hear about this? Mm-hmm. He stole a bunch of laptops and iPads with data on it from one of the Timberwolves analytics executives. It got me wondering, and so he's going to avoid jail time, but he's certainly going to have to pay a big fine, and he no longer lives here. What should his punishment be? And I kind of think, like, wrong answers only, what should his punishment be? And I'm like, okay, so what should this guy have to do? So I'm trying to think of the worst basketball-themed things I could ever have. And I have to tell you, I think he should have to spend a week listening to David Kahn and talking with David Kahn about basketball. That's probably the worst. I think I'd rather be put in jail, honestly. I think you'd just lock me up and throw away the key for a while than have to spend that much time with David Kahn once again. So, again, and I'd love to hear your answers as well on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. Jim Finks is the greatest? I am not. Pete, do you know? I'm going to Google
Jim Finks. Back to Jim Finks, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that was, you know, that's the era of 70s, 80s, or if it even got into the 80s, I don't know, but for sure 70s.
He was with the Vikings from 64 to 73. Yeah, I mean, that's the Purple People Eaters. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great point.
Yeah.
What should this gentleman have to do? What should his punishment be?
I don't, you know what? I hadn't given it much thought, and I know you put that out there. We were going back and forth earlier.
Should we come back to you?
Yeah, I think you got to come back to me on that one. But I love the idea, and I think we're going to get a lot of clever answers to this one. But
so wrong answers only. Yeah. Josh, I know you've got one.
I'm stumped.
Really? I love it. All right. Well, we'll keep thinking about it. We'll take your calls and texts throughout the show today on the stylesfinancial.com. Talking text line 651-461-9226. Just set you up for the hour.
Wait, I do have one. I do have
okay,
one.
Go.
They should have to sit through the bear.
That show is awful. Have you ever watched it? It's so bad.
I
get that I'm the only person in the world who thinks this. That's a bad show.
You're correct.
It's a bad show. And I'm open to being ripped. It's okay. I'm just not a fan. Anyway, we'll dive into that a little bit later. Coming up later on in our show today, Joe Smith from The Athletic will join us to talk the Wild draft and NHL draft, and Chris Hine from the Star Tribune. We'll talk with him about the Timberwolves draft and the state of the NBA as well. Who will own the Timberwolves? Maybe we can finally figure out an answer to that. Coming up next, is it possible that a couple of Twins players were just overthinking things all along? We'll talk about it coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle. Best GMs and presidents of operations of all time we're chatting about. A couple coming in on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Jim Finks, a couple of votes for Andy McPhail, which I think is also a good call. But I guess then I could argue then for the past, 20, 30 years, Tim Connolly's taken it, right? I mean,
yeah.
In the past 20 years, now granted, there hasn't been as much success for franchises in the past 20 years either. But I think certainly what he's done in his short time here, and I guess maybe longevity has to be a key. You know, he pushed off his buyout, or he pushed off his out in his contract for one more year to, I'm assuming, to see what happens and see what happens with ownership and if they, you know, what they decide to do, because they're getting up close to that, you know, that second apron kind of thing where they're going to have to pay a lot more money. Pete, the Twins seem to turn things around a bit this week. A really great week, including a big win last night against the Mariners, thanks to a monstrous night for both Byron Buxton and Pablo Lopez. Last week when we had Chris Atterbury on, he said something that I found really interesting about Pablo Lopez when he talked about nobody works harder to think their way out of things, to kind of get their way out of that slump, than Pablo Lopez. And he used the analogy of how he sits there and he tries to throw with the towel to get everything correctly. In the Star Tribune today, they talk about Byron Buxton and how he said basically now he's cutting his warm-up shorter and having a cup of coffee before it, like five cups of coffee or whatever it is, for 45 minutes. I don't know how many cups of coffee you can drink in 45 minutes. I could drink a lot.
I can.
And he goes out and he's on a tear this week, which makes me wonder, do we undervalue the concept of overthinking things in sports? Because both of these examples make me wonder if it was just a matter of, you know what, just stop thinking about it and throw, or just stop thinking about it and swing, stay healthy. But it seems to be working when you, and again, you're a former professional athlete, in addition to being the stock market star, is it possible, when you played, how much does overthinking it about things when things are going wrong truly affect your play?
Oh, absolutely it affects your play. I think it's one of those situations where you start to press, and that's where I think coaches really do have to be very, very in tune, understand, put them in a better position to be able to perform at the levels that everybody knows that they can. Whether it's Buxton and the injuries, or he's pushing too hard and all the rest of it, whatever it might be. But how about the last week? The guy's got 11 RBIs and four home runs in the last week. It gives you a little bit of an idea of we know how good he is. We know the levels at which he can hit the ball. It's just incredible. But you're right, because there are times where you just have to make sure that your head is in the right place and you're not pressing. And how do you do that? There's got to be some sort of a way, and everybody's going to be different. He's talking about cups of coffee and however you want to frame this whole thing, but there is some way that you've got to find that gets you back into that rhythm that we all know that you've got. You know, Pablo Lopez, we were just talking about him a week ago on how frustrating it must have been and must be for him, because it's not really who he is. And now all of a sudden it's turned a little bit for him, and it's starting to get there. You know, it's the last year we talked about the batting, right? And we talked about striking out and the fact that you just wonder, how do you get to that area where you want guys swinging. You want them swinging, not necessarily always for the fences, but you want them swinging. And now all of a sudden this year, it's not a bat issue with us. It's been the pitching. It's Chris Paddock. It's Lopez. It's Bailey Ober. All these guys have extremely high ERAs. And again, I think it is in their head. And they've got to figure that out. Maybe Pablo has in the last couple of outings, because he certainly looks a little bit better. The ERAs come down a little bit, but still 17 home runs. That's not what he would want either. But it's amazing how the bats this year, last year I talked about it almost every Sunday about we can't strike out as much as we have. And we had over 1,650 strikeouts last year. Mm-hmm. This year is completely different. Guys seem to be getting connected. We saw it in spring training when we were down there. And I like what we're seeing. So I think the bats are there. And if the pitching can just elevate just a little bit, I think we find ourselves in a pretty interesting spot. But we've also got to start beating teams with winning records, because it's one thing to beat a lot of teams that you come into it and, the losing records. I think it's a very important thing that, they've only beat three teams for a series this year that have winning records.
Yeah.
Boston, Seattle, and Kansas City. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, we've had a hard time with the Yankees. We've had a really hard time with Cleveland. We just can't seem to get over the hump. We do great against Oakland and Colorado and those teams, right? But so they've got to get themselves in the mindset where whatever it is going against some of those losing teams, they've got to get that to work for themselves when they're going up against the Yankees and the Guardians and whoever.
Here's what bothers me, because something always does. I feel like we've heard so many, I don't want to call them excuses, but reasons why Byron Buxton has quote unquote figured things out from last time. He lifted different this offseason. He did this to be healthier. He did that. Now it's just having a couple, having coffee that is helping him kind of focus. I want to believe it. I want to believe, like, oh my goodness, this is it. Caribou Coffee, Starbucks, all line up and get your endorsement with Byron Buxton, because it's going to change everything. But am I wrong for just saying, okay, Buck, like, is this another excuse about why you haven't been, consistently awesome? Because he's been great over the last week, four home runs, 12 hits. He's batting .444. He's only struck out five times in the last seven games. That's amazing. But if you look at the last 30, he's hitting .274. Wherever there's an up with Byron Buxton, there has been in the past an ensuing down, and I don't want the roller coaster to go down again. Can we just keep consistently going uphill? And we don't know. We won't know until another 10, 15 more games to see if he stays with this, if he's consistent like some others have been. So we'll find out. I'll tell you what, though, the one thing that really did make me happy this week, did you see that hit? Did you see Carlos Correa take that shot on the hand? Oh, man.
That looked bad,
I saw that.
Though.
I watched the entire season flash before my eyes. I'm like, oh, no, please. Like, they're just getting on a tear now. And he goes and plays the next day. It's crazy.
It is
the 93-mile-an-hour fastball he took to the arm.
And everybody was worried. All of us were worried. You'd started texting. Charlie started texting. And it was interesting. But how great is it that didn't turn into what we thought it was going to be? And it still keeps us alive with, the guy who's been there this year for us, for sure, Carlos Correa, has done an amazing job. And the fact that he was able to shake that off when it looked pretty bad, that's going to be great for the Twins. Because that could have been something that really hurt us for the next month maybe or so. But it seems like he's actually as good as ever. He looks great.
Yeah, but that could have been real bad. Obviously, it sounds like Brooks Lee might have been close to. I think we're going to see him soon. I hope so. There's been a lot of chatter about he's really doing a great job down in the minors. So maybe we'll see him here over the course of the next couple of games. We can talk about that a little bit later as well. We'll take a break, do the fast break. Coming up next, you're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Josh, can you do me a favor? Can you clip that weather forecast and enter it for a Marconi.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that was, let me tell you.
Do you need another one? Let's be honest. You've already got enough.
I'm earning my paycheck today.
Oh, my gosh. Let's start this fast break, shall we? Dave, we'll start with you since you're the big basketball guy here on the huddle. The NBA draft is now behind us. And beginning at 5 p.m. today, free agency window is open for business. We already have been have a big name in Paul George becoming available in the last 24 hours. Should the Wolves pursue Mr. PG-13, or is there maybe a different place, a different piece you have in mind for this team?
Well, I would have before the draft this week. I would have said they needed some scoring depth, some shooting depth, but they got that in Dillingham. So I think the only move that should be made this up, because I'm not in favor of upsetting the apple cart here. I mean, this team ran into a very hot Dallas team, a very good Dallas team, but they still, I wouldn't take away what they did this year because they were right there. I think the only move that can possibly be made this summer is if you want to deal and get rid of some salary with Karl Anthony Towns. That's it. What you get in return, you just need to spend less money. You got to shed some salary here. Karl Anthony Towns had a pretty good year. His value is probably going to be as high as it's going to be as he gets older now. So this is it. I think you trade him in the offseason for whatever you can get. Something good, but whatever you can get.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with this team, I don't think. I think I love what we did from the draft perspective. I love what we have as a team already, even ahead of that. And to add a young guard that actually can get in there and work with Conley and figure some things out, and maybe by the end of the season he's a really active participant. I think when you look at what the Timberwolves have done, they've done a lot of things right. I've had people say, well, should we actually go for Klay Thompson? Well, I think that's one of those things where people always just look back and they say, well, Michael Thompson was so great. Let's get him. Let's get this guy here.
Yes.
He's 34 years old. I don't know. Can he still play? Sure. But do we need him? Is that something that really makes us better? I'm not so sure.
I don't think they can afford it.
Yeah. That's the other big issue, I'm sure. That's real money there.
All right, Pete, we're going to go to you for this next one here. Talking NFL, we are 3 weeks away from training camp beginning. It's hard to believe. It's July 1st tomorrow. We know the top two receivers for the Vikings. That's Mr. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But if you have to pick a number three receiver, who do you like as far as Jalen Naylor, when healthy, Brandon Powell, or maybe N'Keal Harry, or one of the more depth receivers that the Vikings do have?
Yeah, they do have so many already on the roster that you just kind of wonder who's going to really step up. Obviously, Addison and Jefferson are outstanding. I really don't know. I thought a lot about Jalen Naylor. He hasn't shown us a lot yet, but of the players that we've got right now, I think that he's got a great opportunity in front of him to get himself a little bit more playing time. I'd love to see him have success. We all remember, I mean, he was drafted by Philadelphia very, very, very high, unusually high, and I think that we haven't seen that yet, but potentially maybe this year, this could be the year for Naylor.
I'm going to go off the board and play unfairly because I would call him a receiver anyway, TJ Hockenson. And I don't – you could even put him above Addison. I think when you have a quarterback who's trying to resurrect his career like Sam Darnold, or if you go to J.J. McCarthy, which I hope they don't, that position, Pete, you know this, it's a safety blanket. You got to have it. And so I would say Hockenson might be, other than Justin Jefferson, the most important person who catches passes on the team, considering what the quarterbacks have to deal with this year.
I totally agree with you. How's his health? I know that obviously there's still a question mark or whatever.
Depends if he's holding out for a contract. We'll see how he feels.
That's true.
All right, let's jump to the next one here. Dave, we'll start with you. We'll go to the NHL for this next one here. The Wild, they have not a lot of money to really work with as far as the old contract situation, which, by the way, next Thursday marks 1 year. We can finally begin the countdown until the Suter era is over.
Suter, by the way, who got bought out again this week.
Yes.
Guy is getting paid a lot of money to not play hockey. Yeah. Why can't I find that gig?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have to fill in on WCC or radio anytime soon. Or anything. So, yeah. But We also do have the NHL free agency. We're not going to, again, we're not going to tip our hand too much. We do have Chris Hine. We do have Joe Smith coming up in the show. So they are the experts and get paid for this. But will the Wild, and I have a little fun sound bites to go with this too, will they be buyers, sellers?
Oh, look at you.
Or will they be staying put?
That's great. I like those. Bye-bye. We've talked about this. I just don't think that there's a whole lot that they can do. They did trade Vinny Letteri yesterday during the draft for I forget the guy's name from Boston. So, which is a bummer because Vinny Letteri I think was a really good role player, knew his role, knew his job, did it well. So it's tough to see him I know I've said this before. I think the only real asset that the Wild have to trade if they choose to would be Filip Gustavsson, because there are a lot of teams that need a number one goaltender. Filip Gustavsson is a number one goaltender on any team in this league, and I will stand by that. And it makes sense. I mean, you have Marc-Andre Fleury coming back for another year. If Jesper Wallstedt is truly what they think he is, which he looked that way when he came up this year, except for a couple of games, I think it's the smart play to see what you can get back from Gustavsson and get yourself some scoring depth if you want, because they drafted a couple. The kid they drafted last night out of Denver, whose name I can't pronounce, Zeev, I believe is his first name. Really, really good. Really, really good. We'll talk to Joe Smith about him later, but I'm super excited to see what that kid can do. You need some more depth. You need some more scorers. You need some younger scorers that don't take a lot of salary. And I think they can probably get that back if they trade Gustavsson. But who knows? We'll see if they do it.
That's probably the best direction, I think, because we need something. There has to be something that happens between the pipes. And obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury's been great. He's had an unbelievable career. He's getting pretty old, Dave, 39 years old. But
and he still
you know better
great.
Than me. How long can he go?
I mean, so I once had an NHL goalie coach tell me truthfully that the one position that you get better at as you get older is goalie, because your body's already used to it. His flexibility, they take great care of themselves, but you get smarter. You know your angles. You can anticipate shots and passes around you. So that's why you see goalies actually get better as they get older.
Yeah, well, and he's one of the all-time greats, so it's something great for the Wild. And to your point, can we get something else? Is there somebody else out there that we can get on this team that actually can put the puck in the net? I think if we could do that, that obviously helps the goaltending as well. So yeah. That's something that that could be big. But I don't know how to pronounce that name either. By the way, Zeev.
It's Buum? Like Zeev. we'll ask Joe Smith. I know the first part is Zeev. We'll ask him how to say it.
Well, and first of all, this pertains to the last question and this one, because it's Vikings and Wild related, I'm really glad we no longer have Kalen Addison on the team, because I kept calling Jordan Addison Kalen Addison. It was really annoying having two main Addisons in our Minnesota sports market, and it's a good feeling not having that anymore.
Well, the Addison we still have, I'm pretty glad about.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Is that... Not too bad. He makes a few catches or three or four or five. We'll do one quick one here. We do have a little bit of time. Of course, there are painful losses like the 98 NFC Championship, Game 6 of the 91 Stanley Cup Final at the Mets, and then there are even more devastating losses in sports like losing 14-0 in soccer. Of course, I'm referring to the Minnesota Aurora, who defeated the Scotty's own RKC Third Coast by a close one, 14-0. Now, we have already seen a playoff run from these ladies last year, and my big question to both of you is, are we on the verge of seeing another women's professional sports team showing the men how it's really done?
Yes. What do you think, Dave? It's unbelievable. These gals are incredible. What they've been able to do, whether it's Hansen or Rapp or French, all of them, just amazing statistically. And when we get the opportunities to go out there, TCO is a beautiful place to go if you're ever interested in being a part of this whole thing. But it's their third straight division title. I think the Aurora certainly deserve a lot of attention right now, because another like you said, Josh. The women's side of things just absolutely dominating, and crushing, they dominated Racine last night. That's amazing.
I wonder, and I didn't, I didn't add it all up, but I'm very curious. If you take like all of the goals in the last couple games that United have scored, does it come up to 14?
It might.
To put together 14 goals in one game is ridiculous. They have 41 regular season games without a loss. Minnesota Aurora does.
It's pretty
41 in soccer. That's insane. Hmm. Yes, they're going. I mean, they're going to go to the championship, and they're probably going to win.
Yeah,
they have so much talent. They can clearly put the ball in the net. The 14 goals tied for second most. That's the second most in a match in the USLW League this season, by the way. It's been done before better, which is crazy to me.
For context.
By the way, also, what is Third Coast?
I think they call it the UP. I don't know. Let's look at some of the scores over the last handful of games for this squad. Okay, 14-0. That was a close one.
Which and I'm told that team last the Third Coast was basically the seventh coast that showed up because they
didn't even know Wisconsin had one coast. I mean, besides Superior.
Well, I guess the upper. Yeah. Anyway, they barely showed up, but still, 14 goals.
Bavarian United, they beat them 7-0. And then two games before that, they beat Bavarian United. They have really good donuts. 5-0.
Where is Bavarian United out of?
I need to look this up.
By the way, Minnesota Aurora is beating everybody, but they won already. The Aurora is the greatest name and logo. It truly
is. Cool.
Yeah. Because we didn't get Third Coast or what were they? The Bavarian what?
Donuts. Bavarian United.
Donuts.
Bavarian United. Everyone's united.
Oh, Josh.
All right. Should we take a break?
Also in Wisconsin, by the way.
Also in Wisconsin.
So Wisconsin, since when is Wisconsin a soccer state? Stick to cheese.
Oh, boy. We now have listeners in Wisconsin. Don't we? Do we stretch that way?
Well, yes,
I guess we'll find out. We'll find out if we get hate mail. Well, you're in Wisconsin practically, Pete.
I am. I'm right on the border, man.
I know. All right, we'll take a break, wrap up this fantastic hour, number one. You're listening to The Huddle on 830. From the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, the punishment for the ex-Timberwolves employee who stole, I had the article, there it is. He stole 5,700 files that held employment, player contracts, and other strategic information from the analytics team department. Guys, the gentleman's name is Somak Sarkar. He's 33 years old. On Wednesday, he pled guilty in Hennepin County in connection with a theft. He's going to have to pay some money, but he's not going to go to jail. We had asked you, wrong answers only, what should this executive have to endure instead of going to jail? I said he should have to have a week-long conversation with David Kahn. Another person to our text line says, punishment for ex-Timberwolves employee, watch every Disney movie ever made, marathon style. With 1 5-minute break every 2 hours. I love the Disney movies, most of them.
Yeah, I'm okay with them.
I mean, like you have daughters, Pete.
Sentimental, usually. Yeah.
Have you guys thought of your punishment yet? What should he have to do?
I got a good one for you.
Okay,
guys.
Okay, go.
Friday night, my wife and I are sitting there, and our son is in Australia right now. Our daughter's down in Florida right now, and my daughter lives in Florida now, but. So we decided, hey, we're going to go to a movie tonight. We haven't gone to the movies in a little while. Let's go to a movie. My wife picks it out. She says, look, I saw this on Rotten Tomatoes. Really got really good reviews, blah, blah, blah. I never heard of it, but let's try it. It was called Thelma. I don't know what I would rather rot somewhere than ever have to see that again. But I would say that if you just had that on a roll, reel, and it just kept on playing – Dave, it might have been the worst movie I have ever seen. It was a 93-year-old grandmother who gets taken to the cleaners for $10,000.
With help from a friend and his motorized scooter.
It's the worst thing
I've ever seen. She embarks on a treacherous journey across Los Angeles. This sounds fake.
It couldn't have been worse, honestly. I literally was debating all kinds of different things that I would like to be doing outside of that, but... It was awful. So that's
99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, yeah, unbelievable.
I'm listening. I'm hearing in my head the voice guy. In a world where a 93-year-old grandma and her motorized scooter embarks on a treacherous journey across Los Angeles.
And everything about it was worse than even what you just read.
And it says comedy action, which is not a crossover that you hear often. Well, boy, that's pretty bad. Josh, do you have one?
I mean, a good punishment would be watching the 2024 debate on a 12-hour loop.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call. That's a really good call.
I'm not getting too much into it because
we're not
politics.
No, this is sports, yes.
Hey, did you get down to Pete? I know you've been big into the Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. I love them as well. I didn't go, but we did watch and kind of follow a little bit with the gymnastics. Minnesota's Shane Wiskus is an alternate, which is kind of a bummer, but.
Yeah.
It's a mathematical equation now that they say, and he was good some places, but someone else was better. Yada yada. I watched one of his. I think he was on the uneven bars, maybe, or it was the rings. Anyway, he stuck this landing. I mean, it was just insane. It looked like his feet were glued to the mat, and it was incredible. So happy that he's an alternate, but still kind of a bummer that he's not on the actual team. But he gets to go to Paris.
We do have some local connections still. Suni Lee, of course, and then mm-hmm. Simone Biles and Jordan Chilis is up. I mean, we are so stacked in men's and women's gymnastics. It's incredible. I think that outside of that, I didn't make it down there. I thought about it. We kicked that around. Boy, am I kicking myself for mm-hmm. going to that movie instead of this. But because Thelma was really bad.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something, guys. The track and field is worth watching. If you didn't watch it, you almost have to go back and look at it. Every year you think somebody has broken a record and nobody else will ever get there ever again. And you look at the 100-meter men, the 100-meter women, the 200 meters that these guys run, this guy Noah Lyles, they're jogging towards the end and they're jogging in almost at world record pace. So they're just kind of holding it back. And it's incredible. The 110-meter high hurdles. I was a high hurdler, and I watched these guys for years. That you have three different participants that ran under 13 seconds, where 13 seconds used to be the world record. That's pretty incredible. I'm just amazed at what these athletes do, from the shot putters to the high jumpers to the pole vaulters, triple jump, all of that stuff. Track and field is really amazing to watch.
I love the Olympics. I know a great one Minnesotan you just got to watch. Elise Willoughby is her name now, formerly Elise Post of St. Cloud. She's BMX. She's incredible. Have you ever watched
cool.
them go around? It is such a leg workout. I mean, just watching them, because you pedal a little, but what you really do is your body is the shocks and struts for the bike. And you lift the bike and put it down to kind of stay up. It's amazing. It's so cool to watch. I love watching BMX. And the racers are just incredible. And Elise Willoughby is, I would imagine, a favorite to win a medal again, like she did in Rio. So are we out? We're out of time here. I know, we're going over. We'll take a quick break, come back. Top of the hour, we will have Chris Hine. We'll talk a little bit about the Timberwolves draft and the state of the NBA as well. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
What a week for the future of the Timberwolves and the Wild, for that matter. We'll talk about both today. But the real MVP this week of the Timberwolves, in my mind, Pete, is Tim Connelly. Tim Connelly, who does – I don't know that I've ever seen something like this before in any draft, where – in order to get you get yourself into the top 10 without losing any of your current player assets, and what you deal for it is something that's so far away, it's almost silly. And I understand why San Antonio did it. They want to build around Victor Wembanyama. He's a young player. They've, 5 years from now is a real, kind of attainable window for them. But if you're the Timberwolves, and you trade away your first round pick in 2031 and swap picks in 2030, and you're able to add someone like Rob Dillingham from Kentucky, who is an immediate force, I think, on your team.
Yeah.
What a brilliant move. And again, I know the draft was a couple days ago, but we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. I just, Tim Connelly, when you look through executives in our town and in our state over the past, let's just say decade or two, maybe three, he might be one of the best general managers or president of operations that any franchise has had here. I mean, to do what he's done with this team this year, all he does is swing big, and every time it's a home run. It's never a single. It's never a ground out. It's always a home run. It may take a little more time, but I'm so impressed with the deals that he makes, and this is just the latest.
Yeah, it is impressive, and it's something that is not necessarily new. I mean, he's had the guts, if you want to call it guts, or the intelligence to make some moves that he's taking advantage of what we've got as a team right here, right now. He's looking into the future, but he's willing to say, you know what, we'll worry about that in 10 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever it might be. But the reality is he's focused on right now. He's got Anthony Edwards. He's got all of these young stars that are budding, and a couple of older guys too, Rudy Gobert and so forth. But nonetheless, just going for it. And you've got to appreciate that. And I think we are seeing that the Timberwolves certainly proved it out this past year. It was their second best in franchise history in terms of number of wins and all the rest of that. So I think you got to give Tim Connelly a heck of a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. And how about Chris Finch? You know, that's another one where here's a coach who's got to deal with a lot of different egos, you know, as far as where does the ball go. And he's done a magnificent job, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he created a team that had the defensive mindset based on Rudy Gobert with the spark of Anthony Edwards and a few others. You just got to love what we have done in a very, very short period of time, coaching-wise, player-wise. I think it's just a testament to a lot of the different things. Now we just got to figure out who owns the Timberwolves, right?
Your point is right. I was on with Jason DeRusha on Monday just as the Finch contract extension came out, and I said I love this for a guy who's had to pay his dues. You know, this is his very first head coaching job, and a lot of times when guys or females who are in coaching, if it takes a long time to get there, right, they've just bounced around and they never really got that chance, there's often a reason, and we've seen it in our town. We've seen it with coaches or GMs who take a while to get there, and then we think, that's probably why it took so long and it doesn't work out. Chris Finch is someone who they had to take, and granted, this was not Tim Connelly's hire, this is Gerson Rosas' hire.
Yep.
But he's done things here, and probably most underrated to your point, Pete, is he's kept a lineup happy that has five, and you want to count six Naz Reid, guys who could start with any other team, and he's kept everybody happy with the amount of ball touches they're getting, with the offense and defense that he's running, and winning helps that. But I can't, and you know this, Pete, you are a professional athlete. It's hard to keep, it really is a job to be able to manage the egos in the lineup every single night and keep everybody happy.
Oh, it's a near impossibility. I think it's even worse probably in sports like basketball, where you've only got the five out there. But you see the same thing happen with receivers in football and running backs in football and quarterbacks, quite honestly, all the time. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's part of what coaching is managing these personalities and egos along the way.
Yeah.
And that's something that can be very difficult. By the way, Dave, I looked at one thing. I don't know how many people have pointed this out, if any, but I thought it was pretty interesting. I went through the Timberwolves season this past year. Do you know their longest losing streak was 2 games?
Yep. It's
just, when you look at that, that says a lot about the preparation, what he's done with the players, even though Anthony Edwards, as you and I have talked about, is just this amazing guy who does not do load management. He absolutely understands the game. He understands the fans. He wants to do his best for the fans. So they're playing these guys. They're playing, and the fact that that's sort of a streak didn't exist past the two games. Now, again, we did sweep Phoenix, but we did lose three in a row to Denver. We lost three in a row to Dallas. But let's forget about that for a second. Those were great teams, and it was an amazing year, and I think that they can do even better. I love what they did in the draft. I think that the way they manipulated themselves into the right spots and to get Dillingham is unbelievable. And on top of that, Terrence, I just think that the Timberwolves seem to be really rolling right now.
I think you can make an argument, and I'm curious what our audience thinks. Love to hear from you on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. In the pantheon of Minnesota sports, is Tim Connelly up there now with the greatest GM, president of operations? Is he on there? I think you can make a point for Calvin Griffith. I think you can make a point, certainly make a point for Terry Ryan, what he's done. I just, when you look at what he's done and the giant swings that he's made, even the small swings have worked. I think he's up there. And again, I'm open to all sorts of opinions, but I think Connelly could very well be considered one of the best with what he's done. The other interesting thing that happened this week with the Timberwolves is, if you haven't heard, they've settled the case in the case of the gentleman who used to work for the Timberwolves who stole a bunch of did you hear about this? Mm-hmm. He stole a bunch of laptops and iPads with data on it from one of the Timberwolves analytics executives. It got me wondering, and so he's going to avoid jail time, but he's certainly going to have to pay a big fine, and he no longer lives here. What should his punishment be? And I kind of think, like, wrong answers only, what should his punishment be? And I'm like, okay, so what should this guy have to do? So I'm trying to think of the worst basketball-themed things I could ever have. And I have to tell you, I think he should have to spend a week listening to David Kahn and talking with David Kahn about basketball. That's probably the worst. I think I'd rather be put in jail, honestly. I think you'd just lock me up and throw away the key for a while than have to spend that much time with David Kahn once again. So, again, and I'd love to hear your answers as well on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. Jim Finks is the greatest. I am not. Pete, do you know? I'm going
to
Google
Jim. I go back to Jim Finks. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that was, you know, that's the era of 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. or if it even got into the 80s, I don't know, but for sure 70s.
He was with the Vikings from 64 to 73. Yeah, I mean, that's the Purple People Eaters. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great point.
Yeah.
What should this gentleman have to do? What should his punishment be?
I don't, you know what? I hadn't given it much thought, and I know you put that out there. We were going back and forth earlier.
Should we come back to you?
Yeah, I think you got to come back to me on that one. But I love the idea, and I think we're going to get a lot of clever answers to this one. But
so wrong answers only. Yeah. Josh, I know you've got one.
I'm stumped.
Really? I love it. All right, well, we'll keep thinking about it. We'll take your calls and texts throughout the show today on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Just set you up for the hour.
Wait, I do have one. I do have
one. Okay, go.
They should have to sit through the bear.
that show is awful. Have you ever watched it? Oh, it's so bad.
I
get that I'm the only person in the world who thinks this. That's a bad show.
You're correct.
It's a bad show, and I'm open to being ripped. It's okay. I'm just not a fan. Anyway, we'll dive into that a little bit later. Coming up later on in our show today, Joe Smith from The Athletic will join us to talk the Wild draft and NHL draft, and Chris Hine from the Star Tribune. We'll talk with him about the Timberwolves draft and the state of the NBA as well. Who will own the Timberwolves? Maybe we can finally figure out an answer to that. Coming up next, is it possible that a couple of Twins players were just overthinking things all along? We'll talk about it coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle. Best GMs and presidents of operations of all time we're chatting about. A couple coming in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Jim Finks, a couple of votes for Andy McPhail, which I think is also a good call. But I guess then I could argue then for the past, 20, 30 years, Tim Connelly's taken it, right? I mean,
yeah.
in the past 20 years. Now, granted, there hasn't been as much success for franchises in the past 20 years either. But I think certainly what he's done in his short time here, and I get maybe longevity has to be a key. You know, he pushed off his buyout, or he pushed off his out in his contract for one more year to, I'm assuming, to see what happens and see what happens with ownership and if they, you know, what they decide to do, because they're getting up close to that, you know, that second apron kind of thing where they're going to have to pay a lot more money. Pete, the Twins seem to turn things around a bit this week. A really great week, including a big win last night against the Mariners, thanks to a monstrous night for both Byron Buxton and Pablo Lopez. Last week when we had Chris Atterbury on, he said something that I found really interesting about Pablo Lopez when he talked about nobody works harder to think their way out of things, to kind of get their way out of that slump than Pablo Lopez. And he used the analogy of how he sits there and he tries to throw with the towel to get everything correctly. In the Star Tribune today, they talk about Byron Buxton and how he said basically now he's cutting his warm-up shorter and having a cup of coffee before it, like five cups of coffee or whatever it is, for 45 minutes. I don't know how many cups of coffee you can drink in 45 minutes. I could drink a lot.
I can.
And he goes out and he's on a tear this week, which makes me wonder, do we undervalue the concept of overthinking things in sports? Because both of these examples make me wonder if it was just a matter of, you know what, just stop thinking about it and throw, or just stop thinking about it and swing, stay healthy. But it seems to be working. When you, and again, you are a former professional athlete, in addition to being the stock market star, is it possible, and when you played, how much does overthinking it about things when things are going wrong truly affect your play?
Oh, absolutely it affects your play. I think it's one of those situations where you start to press, and that's where I think coaches really do have to be very, very in tune, understand, put them in a better position to be able to perform at the levels that everybody knows that they can. Whether it's Buxton and the injuries, or he's pushing too hard and all the rest of it, whatever it might be. But how about the last week? The guy's got 11 RBIs and four home runs in the last week. It gives you a little bit of an idea of we know how good he is. We know the levels at which he can hit the ball. It's just incredible. But you're right, because there are times where you just have to make sure that your head is in the right place and you're not pressing. And how do you do that? There's got to be some sort of a way, and everybody's going to be different. He's talking about cups of coffee and however you want to frame this whole thing, but there is some way that you've got to find that gets you back into that rhythm that we all know that you've got. You know, Pablo Lopez, we were just talking about him a week ago on how frustrating it must have been and must be for him, because it's not really who he is. And now all of a sudden it's turned a little bit for him, and it's starting to get there. You know, it's the last year we talked about the batting, right? And we talked about striking out and the fact that you just wonder, how do you get to that area where you want guys swinging? You want them swinging, not necessarily always for the fences, but you want them swinging. And now all of a sudden this year, it's not a bat issue with us. It's been the pitching. It's Chris Paddock. It's Lopez. It's Bailey Ober. All these guys have extremely high ERAs. And again, I think it is in their head, and they've got to figure that out. Maybe Pablo has in the last couple of outings, because he certainly looks a little bit better. The ERAs come down a little bit, but still 17 home runs. That's not what he would want either. But it's amazing how the bats this year, last year I talked about it almost every Sunday about we can't strike out as much as we have. And we had over 1,650 strikeouts last year. Mm-hmm. This year is completely different. Guys seem to be getting connected. We saw it in spring training when we were down there. And I like what we're seeing. So I think the bats are there. And if the pitching can just elevate just a little bit, I think we find ourselves in a pretty interesting spot. But we've also got to start beating teams with winning records, because it's one thing to beat a lot of teams that you come into it and, you know, the losing records. I think it's a very important thing that, you know, they've only beat three teams for a series this year that have winning records. Yeah. Boston, Seattle, and Kansas City. That's it. Mm-hmm. everybody else, we've had a hard time with the Yankees. We've had a really hard time with Cleveland. We just can't seem to get over the hump. We do great against Oakland and Colorado and those teams, right? But so they've got to get themselves in the mindset where whatever it is going against some of those losing teams, they've got to get that to work for themselves when they're going up against the Yankees and the Guardians and whoever.
Here's where it bothers me, because something always does. I feel like we've heard so many, I don't want to call them excuses, but reasons why Byron Buxton has, quote unquote, figured things out from last time. You know, he lifted different this offseason. He did this to be healthier. He did that. Now it's just having a couple, you know, having coffee that is helping him kind of focus. I want to believe it. I want to believe, like, oh, my goodness, this is it. Caribou Coffee, Starbucks, all line up and get your endorsement with Byron Buxton because it's going to change everything. But am I wrong for just saying, okay, Buck, like, is this another excuse about why you haven't been, you know, consistently awesome? Because he's been great over the last week, you know, 4 home runs, 12 hits. He's batting .444. He's only struck out 5 times in the last 7 games. You know, that's amazing. But if you look at the last 30, he's hitting .274. You know, wherever there's an up with Byron Buxton, there has been in the past an ensuing down. And I don't want the roller coaster to go down again. Can we just keep consistently going uphill? And we don't know. We won't know until, you know, another 10, 15 more games to see if he stays with this, if he's consistent like some others have been. So we'll find out. I'll tell you what, though, the one thing that really did make me happy this week, did you see that hit? Did you see Carlos Correa take that shot on the hand? Oh, man.
That looked bad,
though. I saw that. I watched the entire season flashed before my eyes. I'm like, oh no, please! Like they're just getting on a tear now, and he goes and plays the next day. It's crazy.
It is
the 93 mile an hour fastball he took to the arm,
and everybody was worried. All of us were worried. You'd started texting, Charlie started texting, and it was interesting. But how great is it that didn't turn into what we thought it was going to be, and it still keeps us alive with, you know, the guy who's been there this year for us. For sure, Carlos Correa has done an amazing job, and the fact that he was able to shake that off when it looked pretty bad, that's going to be great for the Twins, because that could have been something that really hurt us for the next month maybe or so. But it seems like he's actually as good as ever. He looks great.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been real bad. Obviously, it sounds like Brooks Lee might have been close to. I think we're going to see him soon. I hope so. There's been a lot of chatter, but he's really doing a great job down in the minors. So maybe we'll see him here over the course of the next couple of games. We can talk about that a little bit later as well. We'll take a break, do the fast break coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Josh, can you do me a favor? Can you clip that weather forecast and enter it for a Marconi?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that was, let me tell you.
Do you need another one? Let's be honest. You've already got enough.
I'm earning my paycheck today.
Oh, my gosh. Let's start this fast break, shall we? Dave, we'll start with you since you're the big basketball guy here on the huddle. The NBA draft is now behind us. And beginning at 5 p.m. today, free agency window is open for business. We already have been have a big name in Paul George becoming available in the last 24 hours. Should the Wolves pursue Mr. PG-13, or is there maybe a different place, a different piece you have in mind for this team?
Well, I would have, before the draft this week, I would have said they needed some scoring depth, some shooting depth, but they got that in Dillingham. So I think the only move that should be made this up, because I'm not in favor of upsetting the apple cart here. I mean, this team ran into a very hot Dallas team, a very good Dallas team, but they still, I wouldn't take away what they did this year because they were right there. I think the only move that can possibly be made this summer is if you want to deal and get rid of some salary with Carl Anthony Towns. That's it. What you get in return, you just need to spend less money. I mean, you got to shed some salary here. Carl Anthony Towns had a pretty good year. His value is probably going to be as high as it's going to be as he gets older now. So this is it. I think you trade him in the offseason for whatever you can get. Something good, but whatever you can get.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with this team, I don't think. I think I love what we did from the draft perspective. I love what we have as a team already, even ahead of that. And to add a young guard that actually can get in there and work with Conley and figure some things out, and maybe by the end of the season he's a really active participant. I think if, when you look at what the Timberwolves have done, they've done a lot of things right. Some I've had people say, well, should we actually go for Klay Thompson? Well, I think that's one of those things where people always just look back and they say, well, Michael Thompson was so great. Let's get him. Let's get this guy here.
Yes.
He's 34 years old. I don't know. Can he still play? Sure. But do we need him? Is that something that really makes us better? I'm not so sure.
I don't think they can afford it.
Yeah. That's the other big issue, I'm sure. That's real money there.
All right, Pete, we're going to go to you for this next one here. Talking NFL, we are 3 weeks away from training camp beginning. It's hard to believe. It's July 1st tomorrow. We know the top two receivers for the Vikings. That's Mr. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But if you have to pick a number three receiver, who do you like as far as Jalen Naylor, when healthy, Brandon Powell, or maybe N'Keal Harry, or one of the more depth receivers that the Vikings do have?
Yeah, they do have so many already on the roster that you just kind of wonder who's going to really step up. Obviously, Addison and Jefferson are outstanding. I really don't know. I thought a lot about Jalen Naylor. He hasn't shown us a lot yet, but of the players that we've got right now, I think that he's got a great opportunity in front of him to get himself a little bit more playing time. I'd love to see him have success. We all remember, I mean, he was drafted by Philadelphia very, very, very high, unusually high, and I think that we haven't seen that yet, but potentially maybe this year, this could be the year for Naylor.
I'm going to go off the board and play unfairly because I would call him a receiver anyway, TJ Hockenson. And I don't – you could even put him above Addison. I think it when you have a quarterback who's trying to resurrect his career like Sam Darnold, or if you go to J.J. McCarthy, which I hope they don't, that position, Pete, you know this, it's a safety blanket. You got to have it. And so I would say Hockenson. Hockenson might be, other than Justin Jefferson, the most important person who catches passes on the team, considering what the quarterbacks have to deal with this year.
I totally agree with you. How's his health? I know that obviously there's still a question mark or whatever.
Depends if he's holding out for a contract. We'll see how he feels.
That's true.
All right, let's jump to the next one here. Dave, we'll start with you. We'll go to the NHL for this this next one here. The Wild, they have not a lot of money to really work with as far as the old contract situation, which, by the way, next Thursday marks 1 year. We can finally begin the countdown until the previous suitor era is over.
Suitor, by the way, who got bought out again this week.
Yes.
Guy is getting paid a lot of money to not play hockey. Yeah. Why can't I find that gig?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have to, you know, fill in on WCC or radio anytime soon. Or anything. So, yeah. But we also do have the NHL free agency. We're not going to tip our hand too much. We do have Chris Hine. We do have Joe Smith coming up in the show. So they are the experts and get paid for this. But will the Wild, and I have a little fun sound bites to go with this too, will they be buyers, sellers?
Oh, look at you.
Or will they be staying put?
That's great. I like those. Bye-bye. We've talked about this. I just don't think that there's a whole lot that they can do. They did trade Vinny Letteri yesterday during the draft for I forget the guy's name from Boston. So, which is a bummer because Vinny Letteri, I think, was a really good role player, knew his role, knew his job, did it well. So it's tough to see him. I know I've said this before, I think the only real asset that the Wild have to trade if they choose to would be Filip Gustavsson, because there are a lot of teams that need a number one goaltender. Filip Gustavsson is a number one goaltender on any team in this league, and I will stand by that. And it makes sense. I mean, you have Marc-Andre Fleury coming back for another year. If Jesper Wallstedt is truly what they think he is, which he looked that way when he came up this year, except for a couple of games. I think it's the smart play to see what you can get back from Gustavsson and get yourself some scoring depth if you want, because they drafted a couple. The kid they drafted last night out of Denver, whose name I can't pronounce, Zeev, I believe is his first name. Really, really good. Really, really good. We'll talk to Joe Smith about him later, but I'm super excited to see what that kid can do. You need some more depth. You need some more scorers. You need some younger scorers that don't take a lot of salary. And I think they can probably get that back if they trade Gustafson. But who knows? We'll see if they do it.
That's probably the best direction, I think, because we need something. There has to be something that happens between the pipes. And obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury's been great. He's had an unbelievable career. He's getting pretty old, Dave, 39 years old. But you know better than me. How long can he go?
I mean, so I once had an NHL goalie coach tell me, truthfully, that the one position that you get better at as you get older is goalie. Because your body's already used to it. His flexibility, they take great care of themselves. But you get smarter. You know your angles. You can anticipate shots and passes around you. So that's why you see goalies actually get better as they get older.
Yeah. Well, and he's one of the all-time greats. So it's something great for the Wild. And to your point, can we get something else? Is there somebody else out there that we can get on this team that actually can put the puck in the net? I think if we could do that, that obviously helps the goaltending as well. So that's something that that could be big. But I don't know how to pronounce that name either, by the way. Zeev.
It's Buum? Like Zeev. We'll ask Joe Smith. I know the first part is Zeev. We'll ask him how to say it.
Well, and first of all, this pertains to the last question and this one because it's Vikings and Wild related. I'm really glad we no longer have Kalen Addison on the team because I kept calling Jordan Addison Kalen Addison. It was really annoying having two main Addisons in our Minnesota sports market, and it's a good feeling not having that anymore.
Well, the Addison we still have, I'm pretty glad about.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Is that? Not too bad. It makes a few catches or three or four or five. We'll do one quick one here. We do have a little bit of time. Of course, there are painful losses like the 98 NFC Championship, Game 6 of the 91 Stanley Cup Final at the Mets, and then there are even more devastating losses in sports like losing 14-0 in soccer. Of course, I'm referring to the Minnesota Aurora, who defeated the Scotty's own RKC Third Coast by a close one, 14-0. Now, we have already seen a playoff run from these ladies last year, and my big question to both of you is, are we on the verge of seeing another women's professional sports team showing the men how it's really done?
Yes. What do you think, Dave? It's unbelievable. These gals are incredible. What they've been able to do, whether it's Hansen or Rapp or French, all of them, just amazing statistically. And when we get the opportunities to go out there, TCO is a beautiful place to go if you're ever interested in being a part of this whole thing. But it's their third straight division title. I think the Aurora certainly deserve a lot of attention right now because like you said, Josh, the women's side of things just absolutely dominating, and crushing, they dominated Racine last night. That's amazing.
I wonder, and I didn't add it all up, but I'm very curious. If you take like all of the goals in the last couple games that United have scored, does it come up to 14?
It might.
To put together 14 goals in one game is ridiculous. They have 41 regular season games without a loss. Minnesota Aurora does.
It's pretty
41. In soccer, that's insane. Yes, they're going. They're going to go to the championship, and they're probably going to win.
Yeah,
they have so much talent. They can clearly put the ball in the net. The 14 goals tied for second most. That's the second most in a match in the USLW League this season. By the way, it's been done before better, which is crazy to me.
For context,
by the way, also, what is Third Coast?
I think they call it the UP. I don't know. Let's look at the some of the scores over the last handful of games for this squad. Okay, 14-0. That was a close one.
Which and I'm told that team last the Third Coast was basically the seventh coast that showed up because they were not.
I didn't even know Wisconsin had one coast. I mean, besides Superior.
Well, I guess the upper. Yeah. Anyway, they barely showed up, but still 14 goals.
Bavarian United, they beat them 7-0. And then two games before that, they beat Bavarian United. They have really good donuts. 5-0.
Where is Bavarian United out of?
I need to look this up.
By the way, Minnesota Aurora is beating everybody, but they won already. The Aurora is the greatest name and logo. It truly
cool.
is.
Cool. Yeah.
Because we didn't get Third Coast or what were they? The Bavarian what?
Donuts. Bavarian United.
Donuts.
Bavarian United. Everyone's united.
Oh, Josh.
All right. Should we take a break?
Also in Wisconsin, by the way.
Also in Wisconsin. So
since when is Wisconsin a soccer state? Stick to cheese.
Oh boy, we have listeners in Wisconsin. Don't we stretch that way?
Well, yes,
I guess we'll find
do.
Out. We'll find out if we get hate mail. Well, you're in Wisconsin practically, Pete.
I am. I'm right on the border, man.
I know. All right, we'll take come break. Wrap up this fantastic hour number one. You're listening to the Huddle on 830. From the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, the punishment for the ex-Timberwolves employee who stole – I had the article. There it is. He stole 5,700 files that held employment, player contracts, and other strategic information from the analytics team department. Guys, the gentleman's name is Somak Sarkar. He's 33 years old. On Wednesday, he pled guilty in Hennepin County. In connection with the theft, he's going to have to pay some money, but he's not going to go to jail. We had asked you, wrong answers only, what should this executive have to endure instead of going to jail? I said he should have to have a week-long conversation with David Kahn. Another person to our text line says, punishment for ex-Timberwolves employee, watch every Disney movie ever made, marathon style, with 1 5-minute break every 2 hours. I love the Disney movies, most of them.
Yeah, I'm okay with them.
I mean, like you have daughters, Pete.
Sentimental, usually. Yeah.
Have you guys thought of your punishment yet? What should he have to do?
I got a good one for you guys.
Okay, go.
Friday night, my wife and I are sitting there, and our son is in Australia right now. Our daughter's down in Florida right now, and my daughter lives in Florida now. But so we decided, hey, we're going to go to a movie tonight. We haven't gone to the movies in a little while. Let's go to a movie. My wife picks it out. She says, look, I saw this on Rotten Tomatoes. Really got a really good reviews, blah, blah, blah. I never heard of it, but let's try it. It was called Thelma. I don't know what I would rather rot somewhere than ever have to see that again. But I would say that if you just had that on a roll, reel, and it just kept on playing, Dave, it might have been the worst movie I have ever seen. It was a 93-year-old grandmother who gets taken to the cleaners for $10,000.
With help from a friend and his motorized scooter.
It's the worst thing I've ever
seen. She soon embarks on a treacherous journey across Los Angeles. This sounds fake.
It couldn't have been worse, honestly. I literally was debating all kinds of different things that I would like to be doing outside of that, but it was awful. So that's
99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See? Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm listening. I'm hearing in my head the voice guy. In a world where a 93-year-old grandma and her motorized scooter embarks on a treacherous journey across Los Angeles.
And everything about it was worse than even what you just read.
it says comedy action, which is not a crossover that you hear often. Well, yeah, boy, that's pretty bad. Awful. Josh, do you have one?
I mean, a good punishment would be watching the 2024 debate on a 12-hour loop.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call. That's a really good call.
I'm not getting too much into it because we're not politics.
No, this is sports.
Yes. Hey, did you get down to Pete? I know you've been big into the Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. I love them as well. I didn't go, but we did watch and kind of follow a little bit with the gymnastics. Minnesota's Shane Wiskus is an alternate, which is kind of a bummer, but
yeah.
It's a mathematical equation now that they say, and he was good some places, but someone else was better. Yada yada. I watched one of his. I think he was on the uneven bars, maybe, or it was the rings. Anyway, he stuck this landing. I mean, it was just insane. It looked like his feet were glued to the mat, and it was incredible. So happy that he's an alternate, but still kind of a bummer that he's not on the actual team. But he gets to go to Paris.
We do have some local connections still. Suni Lee, of course, and then mm-hmm. Simone Biles and Jordan Chilis is up. I mean, we are so stacked in men's and women's gymnastics. It's incredible. I think that outside of that, I didn't make it down there. I thought about it. We kicked that around. Boy, am I kicking myself for going to that movie instead of this. But because Thelma was really bad.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something, guys. The track and field is worth watching. If you didn't watch it, you almost have to go back and look at it. Every year you think somebody has broken a record and nobody else will ever get there ever again. And you look at the 100-meter men, the 100-meter women, the 200 meters that these guys run, this guy Noah Lyles, they're jogging towards the end and they're jogging in almost at world record pace. So they're just kind of holding it back. And it's incredible. The 110-meter high hurdles, I was a high hurdler and I watched these guys for years, that you have three different participants that ran under 13 seconds, where 13 seconds used to be the world record. That's pretty incredible. I'm just amazed at what these athletes do, from the shot putters to the high jumpers to the pole vaulters, triple jump, all of that stuff. Track and field is really amazing to watch.
I love the Olympics. I know a great one Minnesotan you just got to watch, Elise Willoughby is her name now, formerly Elise Post of St. Cloud. She's BMX. She's incredible. Have you ever watched them go around? It is such a leg workout. I mean, just watching them, because you pedal a little, but what you really do is your body is the shocks and struts for the bike. And you lift the bike and put it down to kind of stay up. It's amazing. It's so cool to watch. I love watching BMX. And the racers are just incredible. And Elise Willoughby is, I would imagine, a favorite to win a medal again, like she did in Rio. So are we out? We're out of time here. I know, I'm going over. We'll take a quick break, come back. Top of the hour, we will have Chris Hine. We'll talk a little bit about the Timberwolves draft and the state of the NBA as well. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.